I don't know.
Well, you go to
H.com, and then it says weekly portion, and then on the bottom it says advanced. I think on the right side it says Moray Ha'esh. M-O-R-A-Y. So let's begin. We're going to speak about the Tefillin. And if you have a chumash, good. If you don't have a chumash, also good. But source number one, I produced it for you, so that's all that you need. The Lavan halach v'gzoz et sano v'tignov rachel ha-trafim asher l'aviha. You know, as they're getting ready to leave, I guess it's a Jewish custom to take whatever you can before you go.
Towels,
the faucets, whatever you can. It's a very important thing. And maybe this reminds us of when the Jews leave Egypt. They take whatever they can. Over here, it's interesting, the parallel. But to know Rachel, it's Trafim Ashelaviyah. Rachel stole the Trafim which belonged to her father. Of course, we need to know what Trafim are, and we have no clue what Trafim means. So we will come back to our Trafim soon. But at the same time, it says, Vayignov Yaakov et Lev Lavan Ha'arami al-Bali Higid lo Kibarechu, that not only were his Trafim stolen to add insult to injury, also Lavan's heart was stolen because they left without telling him before they escaped. Vayivrachu v'chol asher lo v'yakam v'yavor tenar v'yasem panava har gilad v'yugad Lavan b'yom ha'shlishi kibarech Yaakov. And it was told to Lavan on the third day that Yaakov had run, had escaped. He went and he chased after him for 7 days, which by the way does remind us of Paro chasing after Yisrael. And he caught up to him by Har Gilad. Of course it's called Har Gilad because of what will transpire afterwards. And God came and spoke to Lavan, which is why there's a relationship between Lavan and Bilam. There are moments, the few non-Jews that do get spoken to, but they do get spoken to at night. Avimelech, we saw, was the other one. But Yom Eli Shomer Lecha Pens Teber Im Yaakov Mitzavarad. Be very careful how you speak to him. Vayaseg Lavan et Yaakov. Yaakov Taka et Olo Bahar. Lavan Taka et Echav Bahar Hagilad. Vayom Eli Lavan Yaakov Masita. And Lavan says to Yaakov, "What did you do? Vatignov et Levavi. You have stolen my heart." And you've taken my daughters as if they've been captured. Why did you sneak away, to run away? In retrospect, Lavan says, if you would have told me, I would have made a good party, a send-off party for you.
Yes,
sir. So you didn't let me kiss my children, grandchildren goodbye. Yesh lakel yadi lasoti machem ra. I have permission to do bad, but the lokei avichem emes amar elai lemoi shemer lacha midaber in Yaakov mitov adra. Be careful how you speak to him, which is very interesting because he's not speaking so nicely. But all that doesn't interest me. Vata halok halachti kinechsof nechsafta levet avtechem loma ganafta et elokai or elohai would be proper. Why did you steal my gods? Which means now we finally get back to the point. On top of everything else, Vayan Yaakov v'yom Lavan ki yareti ki yamar tepent exol tenzecha mimi im asher timtza et Elohecha lo yichia neged achenu, that whoever would have taken those gods will not live. Hakelecha mimadi v'kach lecha lo yadakov ki rachel ganavtam. So now we have an association between the gods of Lavan and what Rachel stole. And the question that we want to deal with is, why did Rachel take these trefillin? And three different interpretations occur to me. Two of them that you'll tolerate, the third one that you won't like. And the third one you won't like, of course, we'll speak of that, and then we'll try to figure out if we can really say this or not. And he goes searching from tent to tent, and he doesn't find it. He finally comes to Oh of Rachel. Rachel bachatzrach him, and she stole him. But that he named it Kar HaGamal, and she put it in the pillow on the camel. But Teshev Aleim, where she was sitting on. Vayimashesh Lavan et kol ohel v'lamatza. He went putting his hands through the entire tent and didn't find it. At the end, he never does seem to find it. Loved one has two complaints. One, why did you run away without telling me? And he finally gets to the point, why did you steal my gods? We're told the story the other way around, that Rachel stole the gods and Yaakov broke his heart. I guess for an abusive individual, Laban did have a soft side to him. So, very simply asked, why did Rachel take the truck in? So we can look at Rashi, if you like Rashi. Rashi in source number 2, the Tignov Rachel et ha-truffim. Rashi says that why did she steal the truffim? La-hafrish et avia me-avadot elilim nitkavna. Her intention was to separate her father from idolatry. So if that's the case, then the behavior of Rachel would in some way remind us of someone else, of Abraham, when he leaves the house of Terah, he makes sure to break all the idols. So that's a good question. If we do want, good, just one second. If we do want to use the Abraham parallel, on the one hand, we find that Abraham, again, in a sense, tries to separate his father from him with the Kochavim, but he actually gives him a lesson, and he tries to prove it, and he breaks them all, and you know, he puts the hammer by the biggest one, and his father comes in and says, oh my God, what happened? And Yaakov, Abraham says, you know, it was the big guy. They got into a fight about the food and whatever. So Avram gives this whole wonderful lesson. And by the way, what's interesting is that whole lesson is not in the Chumash. That whole lesson is in the Midrash. There's not a word about that in the Chumash. Over here, we do see Rachel taking these things. Had Rachel broken them or so on, then perhaps we would feel more comfortable with this approach. But Rashi, I guess, sees no other option. And Rashi says, why in the world would a woman like Rachel want these trafim? So obviously she wouldn't want the trafim, but what she wants is to separate her father from the trafim.
And in the beginning it says she'd know, you know, the way and it says lekha.
Well, she's certain. Well, we'll see as we go on if there is a significance. The Rashtam, Rashi's grandson, who often disagrees with his grandfather, gives a different interpretation. He says that Tignov Rachel Hatrafim, Shelo Yagidu Viyodiu Lulavan, Kirotse Yaakov Lavroch, that the Trafim should not inform Lavan about the escape. And that it may be a little strange to you.
But then she believes in
them. Well, not just does she, not only does she believe in them, the Rashbam does as well. Correct? And that she believes, correct, that she recognizes, okay, you can say that's the motivation, that she recognizes the power of the Trafim, and she does not want the Trafim talking. Talking Trafim can sink ships, I guess, or something like this. And one has to be very careful about talking Trafim, and therefore she takes them so that the Trafim cannot inform Lavan about the escape. But he quotes a pasuk, Kinyan Shenemar, as the pasuk says, "Ein efod v'trafim." Now, what pasuk is he referring to? Look at the next source, number 4, pasuk in Hosea. We'll see right now. Look at the pasuk in Hosea. Oven, not on. Ki yamim rabim yeshvu b'nei Yisrael, and for many years, many days, Israel sat. Ein melech, they have no king. Ve'ein tsar, and they have no leader. Ve'ein zevach, and they have no slaughtering. Ve'ein matseva, and they have no pillar, tombstone. No, it's not tombstone, it means a pillar, it's a place that they would worship. In the beginning of this parasha, Yaakov makes a matzeva. The ein ephod, and they don't have the ephod, which was one of the day Kohen Gadol, utrafim, and they don't have trafim. Now, all of these things are things which are there for leadership and for instruction, and so on, so it is very interesting that the word trafim is used over here. The word trafim is used in other places as well, and what the Rashbam is referring to, ki hatrafim divru aven, is the next source, is a passage from Zechariah. Sometimes it's very difficult to know what Mefarshim are talking about when you don't know Tanakh. They make this ridiculous assumption that we know these things, and sometimes we don't. And he writes, ki hatrafim divru aven, v'hakosmim chazu sheker. For the Trafim have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and the dreams have told falsehoods, and they give comfort, therefore they went their way like a flock, They were afflicted because there was no shepherd, which is, in a sense, a very similar pasuk. Again, speaking about things that have this ability of showing leadership and giving information and giving instruction. And, you know, once again, today we live in a time with a lack of leadership, a lack of clarity, and for that matter, I guess, according to this pesukim, a lack of trafim. So here we have a couple of pesukim that indicate that trafim, have an ability to communicate. And therefore, because they have ability to communicate, that was Rachel's fear. So we have two separate interpretations. The reality is that both of those interpretations, and I'll just say one more thing about those two interpretations. Excuse me? Correct, and that's bothering us as well. What did she do with them? Which goes back to the motivation of why taking them. Why take them with you? Just destroy them. Okay? And the commentaries will have to deal with that question. Just one more use of trafim, and there are others, and this is by no means exhaustive in terms of the use of trafim in Tanakh. I just decided to give you one more use to help us understand the midrash that we're about to see. When Shaul wanted to kill David HaMelech, David's wife Michal, who was Shaul's daughter, has to try to help her husband escape. V'torid Michal et David v'ad ha'chalon v'yelech v'yichrach v'yimalei. So also here we have an escape, and we have trafim, we're about to enter into the escape. Over here David escapes through the window. V'tikach Michal et ha'trafim v'tasem el hamita, and she put them on the bed. V'kvir izim sama meroshotav v'tichas v'gadav, and she covered up on the bed. As I assume that any of you did, if you ever went out at night and you didn't want your parents to know you weren't home, you would put something on your bed. I never did that, right? I did other things. That's one thing I didn't do. And you would put like a doll or something on the bed, or I would even say the trafim, think scarecrow right now.
Or maybe the trafim were what they used to heal someone, and it could be a small object.
And you're thinking of the word trufa?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't have to be a full trafim.
The word trafim could be related to refuah. By the way, the word trafim is most likely related to the word therapeutic, which goes even more towards your argument. If anybody is interested in all kinds of midrashic interpretations which may be related to the word, there is a book on Jewish magic and superstition written by Professor Sperber, and if you want to save the money and not buy the book, the article was put in a slightly shortened form without footnotes on Bar Ilan's website. And if you look on Bar Ilan's website for Parsha Shavua for this week, you could find it there from a couple of years ago, or if you really can't find it, email me and I'll send it to you. But he does use the various translations of the word trafim in different ancient languages or similar words to show what in the world Chazal are talking about. Over here it sounds that's what I said over here, think scarecrow. No, but based on this I'm saying think of something like a scarecrow or something that you can put like a doll, like a big doll you can put in the bed in order to take the place, to give the impression that it's David HaMelech. It's not. Now, one of the things that the commentaries going to have to deal with, if trafim really are avodah zarah, then what are they doing in the house of David? Why does David have these things in the house? So I'm saying this is a little problematic. Just one more second. According to the interpretation of Rashi, the trafim are avodah zarah, and that's why she wants to save. That's why she wants to save her father from avodah zarah. According to the interpretation of the Rashbam, we don't have to say it's avodah zarah, rather some kind of an oracle, some kind of thing which speaks, and therefore it's not, the problem of avodah zarah doesn't present itself. Instead, what we see is that she's afraid that the trafim will talk, and therefore the problem. In the story with David, we don't see these trafim talking, we just see them being put in the bed, but we do have this at least idea in our minds now that this trafim may somehow be related to human form. We did not know that before, at least based upon either the Rashbam or based upon Rashi. We just know that there's a thing called trafim, but we don't know what else they are. So far, as I said, we have two interpretations. We want to look at the Midrash, where they both came from. One interpretation is to separate her father from avodah zarah. The other was to save her husband and herself from her father chasing them down. Yeah.
Yeah, they couldn't have been so big like a human form, because she wouldn't be able to hide them on their feet.
So you're saying it could be a little bit smaller. Okay, good. Why? Okay, so let's look at source number 7. And if any of you want to know how to really get them talking, so take a look here. We have a recipe.
Healing
That suggestion which has been made. I don't know where you read it. I don't know where I heard it. It's one of these things which are out there. Today they speak about learning Tanakh, the Gova Inayim. This is very popular to say this. The Gova Inayim means at eye height. But what that means is, do I look at characters in Tanakh as if they're the same as me, so I can look at them eye to eye, or do I look at people as being Kedoshei Elyon, being these incredible people that I can't stand and try to understand their motivation? It's interesting, over here, I may not only be looking at them Megova Enayim, eye to eye, I may actually be looking down at Rachel and say, look at this, Rachel, one second, you don't have to justify it, I understand that you're going back to the therapeutic issue, and therefore Rachel is a little desperate because she doesn't have children, and therefore, although she does have one at this time, and therefore she steals the Trafim because of their therapeutic, because of their magical ability, and that may be the reason why she holds on to it. Now the question is, before we go any further with this, let's first look at what the Midrash says of the other, and then we'll have to explore if this is really true. So hold on for 1 second, and then we'll come back to this suggestion, which, by the way, on the face of it, is a wonderful suggestion, but we have to even back up a suggestion. Meaning, you can say anything you want, but in order, no, I'm serious, you can say anything that you want. I would like to back it up before I knock it down. So give me a couple minutes. So first, let's look at source number 7. Mahin trafim. What are trafim? How do you make trafim? Shochtin adan. First, you slaughter somebody. Preferably a bechor, a firstborn, which, by the way, is very popular in various cultures, right? You kill a firstborn. I have to admit, this has occurred to many parents. a different interpretation of makot bechorot. Umokin et rosho, and then you remove the head. Umokinoto, you salt it, right? In solution. Do you want me to continue, or? Mochina tovimelach, you salt the head.
Shrunken hair.
Right? Ubisamin, and with other various herbs and spices. Vikotvim al tzitz hazahav, and then you put on a golden plate. Shem ruach hatum'ah, a name of a magical negative name, destructive name. Uminichin oto tachat l'shono, and you put it underneath its tongue. And then you place your shrunken head in a wall. Umabikin, and you light it aflame. Umishtachavimlo, and you bow down to him. Uhumadaber imam, and he will speak. I am not suggesting anyone try this at home, and I take no responsibility for this. Shene'amar ki hatrafim dibru avim. And his point is because the trafim speak. Trafim speak, this is how you get it. You want them to speak, you need a head. I mean, it's hard to speak. No, it's not positive, but it's saying it's because the whole issue over here is one of Tuma, Koach of Tuma, forces of evil, and so on. And then it continues, L'fichach ganvam Rachel shelo yegidu l'lavan shebarach Yaakov. Over here the Midrash says both. So it's interesting that the Midrash uses both reasons together in one line. The Midrash on the one hand recognizes that these things have the ability. It also labels it as Avodah Zarah. Listening to this whole procedure, I guess we could have guessed that already. This is not a very nice thing to do to people. And by the way, in later sources there's one more element about it, that you use a redhead. Don't ask me why, but I think it works better with the natural. And it can't be eggplant color. That's something else. Yes.
I understand it. They kill a person and they take their head and put something in their mouth and then they speak.
Why do you think
they
understand this?
Yeah,
it's all good.
It's
all
good.
It's
all
good.
No, the gold plate is where you write the word, and that was put underneath the tongue. So, again, if you do want to know where all this came from, then, as I said, read Professor Sperber's article on magic and superstition, and he'll explain to you how the recipe got put together. I don't know.
That's the job of headhunter for that.
If you need it in English, there's a very similar interpretation, number 8, which is Bereshit Rabbah. Differences, this one's Aramaic, but it's never chel trafim ashel avia vihilo nitkavna el shem shamayim amra ma anna mezal. I'm going to go leave an ishbok hadin sabe bekil kule, and I'm going to leave this old man with his mistake. She took her father's trafim, which is, it wasn't that she needed it for herself, she wanted to separate him from the Zara. That is what the Midrash says. And you realize that this is really very close, if not the source of Rashi. Okay? Yes?
I don't understand the difference between Rashi and Rashbam. They're both the same. I mean, I don't understand how Rashbam is not the same.
No, so the Rashbam didn't clearly say it was about Zara, and the Rashbam made it another thing. The Rashbam said she took it in order to protect themselves because this thing would start talking. Yeah, but again, the Rashbam didn't use the word about Zara. The source that they're both getting it from, as I said, is one source, and does seem quite clearly that it considers to be Avodah Zarah. When you work backwards and say, oh, if that's the Rashbam source, then you would conclude that the Rashbam would say the same thing as Rashi, and even though when we read the words, they seem to go in two different directions, as I said, they do come from a common source. No. As I said, that source combines the two together. That source combines the two together. Right. Yes.
When Yosef was setting up the goblet.
Okay, hold on to that. Let's stay here. We'll come back. Midrash Tanchuma. Also, Lama Ganva Otam Kedei Shlo Yomrim Lo Lavan Shiakov Bareach and Nashav Benav Vitzono Vki Atrafim Medabrim Him Kane. And we have the same thing. Two lines later, which is, you see, the same kind of recipe as in the Medrash Tanchuma. So here you see in the Tanchuma as well that she took it so that they don't speak. So again, the Midrash Tanchuma is virtually the same as the Yalkut Shimoni. It has the same recipe as well, with issues here or there.
Why is the trafim in plural? Because here it is, the first is that Mishtachim lo, with a bear imam.
So it's singular and then.
Well, the bear imam is, means speaks to what other people are around.
Mm-hmm. The trafim.
Right.
I don't know.
Source number 10. This is the Meshech Chachma. Vayavor et asher lo pirish Rashi asher lo hi'vir aval hatrafim asher ganva Rachel me'avia lavan bezel lo zachi v'lo ivrim rak hishlichun letoch hanachal. So our question, whatever happened to them, so the Meshech Chachma says, well, it must be that she took them and threw them away. Where would she throw them? She threw them into the Nachal. Kumo sha'amru yolichim liyam ha'melach. That this is this idea, if you have a Avodah Zarah, what do you do with it? You got to get rid of the Avodah Zarah in your home. So what you do with it, you throw into the Yam HaMelech, and therefore that will destroy the acidity, that will destroy anything there. And over here it says that it must be there, for the Meshech Chachma says it must be, that Rachel got rid of these things and threw them in. Although it's interesting because we don't know at which point she actually got rid of them.
What was the time frame of the Meshech Chachma again?
20th century. Died around 1930. His name was Meir Simcha from Dvinsk.
Right.
Yes.
So according to
the Meshech Chachma, says it has to be. How could it be?
Yes.
How could it be any other? It must be that she got rid of them. Source 11 is yet another Midrash that tells you how to make it. We won't bother to read another one. But you see, there are already three different sources that give you this recipe and how to make it, and they all say the same thing. Because each one is a separate book, and each one has its own tradition. And very often the Drishim bring the same teaching. If you want, you could look in source 12, which is yet another source that tells you how to make it. And again, all these things say. Yeah, yeah. Animals don't see.
They beat the voodoo dog.
The one who claimed that she never said that in the Chumash. The one who claims that she threw them away, as I said, the 20th century source in Meshech Rabbah says it must be that she threw them away, because what else would she have done with them? And hold on, we'll come back to that as well. Well, it's interesting, if you look at source 13, when she says Ki derech nashimli, when she claims that she can't stand up, Balomu uberetaita. How can she be having her period? Wasn't she pregnant at that point?
She
yelda b'derech, because she gave birth along the way when they were still traveling. Yesh lomar, two possibilities. Hazvalo, she lied to him.
The yesh.
No, that's not what derech nashim means. The yesh lomar, and some say me otosha'a mit abra. At that moment, she became pregnant. But don't ask me how she became pregnant at that moment. I don't know such thing. The yelda b'shiva chadashim, and she gave birth 7 months later. And he went looking and he could not find the trefin, but he found something else. What he did find, let's wait. So let's just regroup for a second. So far, what we know is that Rachel. One second. Zay still. So far, we have two interpretations. The two interpretations are linked to one another. One interpretation is that the Trefim are taken to separate a father from Avodah Zarah. The other interpretation that they're taken in order to protect themselves from the Trefim speaking. These interpretations are linked together in most of the sources. There are some sources that only speak of Avodah Zarah, which seems to be where Rashi is getting it from. If one makes the suggestion that the motivation of Rachel was in order to use them as some kind of fertility, magical fertility source, again, on a logical level, one can make that suggestion, but one would have to try to prove it. First of all, when we look at source, number 8, you have, again, and this is something pretty consistent what we were hearing, but the Gnova Rachel Tzorfim Asher Laviyah V'hilonet Kavna Ela L'Shem Shamayim. Right? Like, again, you know what, this is what we already saw before. She was doing this L'Shem Shamayim. That's the main thing I wanted there. If you look at,
where were you?
Just one second. So that we read already. Let me look at a couple more that will say it clearer in source. Source 13 becomes the interesting one, because if it's going to say at that moment she became pregnant, so then you can begin to question if there is some kind of power to this which helps her get pregnant at that moment or not. Source 14, which is a continuation of 13, it says Tanan Hatam Mekom Asachi Yulashem Shemayim. Whatever one does should be l'shem shemayim, and it talks about various people who did things and got rewarded for it. Rachel, Bachata, Trafim, Yetzami Mena, Benyamin, HaTzadik. But over here, this Lefichach is saying it's a reward for having taken the Trafim, not a cause of having taken the Trafim. And in source 15, the Zohar says, and I'll read the very end of it. You can look at the entire Zohar later if you like. The Apagav Rachel Ihi Avdal Karalei Lavumi Batar Avodah Zarah. Even though Rachel's intention was to separate her father from Avodah Zarah, it Naasht, she got punished. The lower Viat Leila Binyamin, that she was never able to see Binyamin below Kaima Bahadei Shata, and not even for a moment. Chad begin Tsara to Avua. Because of the pain that she caused her father, even though that she had intention to do something positive, which is interesting. If we're looking for a correlation between her giving birth and the trafim, so far we see that there is a midrash that says that the zchut of taking the trafim, she became pregnant. But we also see a midrash that says, as a punishment for taking the trafim, she never got to see her son. Although we do have to recognize that she does die because she took the trafim. If I'll speak about a cause, well, you can say no, she died. Well, leaving the Zohar out. Why does she die? Because Yaakov said, so every tzuk that will die. Now that seems to be a little bit unfair, a little harsh. Why such a severe punishment just for taking it? Unless you want to say, on the one hand, because Yaakov is such a holy man, he curses somebody, they die, which is the way that Chazal go with this. Unless you want to make an argument that maybe Rachel did take the trafim, which are of the Zohar, and therefore her death is a punishment for that. So as I said, there are people who have made this argument. Rachel, this woman who desperately wants children, is now willing to, quote-unquote, walk on the wild side in order to try to get there.
What is it that they have special powers other than speaking?
Excuse me?
What is it that they have special powers other than, like, it doesn't sound like their ability to speak?
Well, let's go on a little bit, and maybe we'll be able to make a connection. Two things to strengthen this argument, that she did take them because she knew of their power. And she took two things to strengthen this. One is all the way down the line in Perek Lamed Hay, after they get back to Eretz Yisrael, after they cross through the river, after they finish with Esav, when they get back to Beit El, Hashem reminds Yaakov, this is next week's parasha, Hashem reminds Yaakov, remember, by the way, when you had that dream there and you said you're going to build a bayit l'Hashem when you get back? Well, guess what? You're back and you haven't built anything yet. Mm-hmm. What's going on? So Yaakov, in preparation to build the house of God, makes the following statement. Well, first let's read what Hashem says to where he reminds him to keep his promise. Source 16. Vayomer Elokim El Yaakov, Kum Alei Beit El, V'shev Sham, V'asei Sham Izbeach, L'kel HaNira Elecha, B'Berchecha, B'nei Esav Achicha. Go and build what you said you were going to build when you ran away from your brother. By the way, that's very bad that Hashem has to remind him keep his promise. So what does Yaakov do to now maybe this will be a little insight why Yaakov hasn't kept it yet. Get rid of all of your pagan gods that you have here, which is a very surprising pasuk. Why do they have pagan gods here? Which now, you know, despite in Lavan Garti the Taryag Mitzvot Shamarti, which Rashi tells us, Yaakov perhaps kept Taryag Mitzvot in whatever form we're to understand that. But others among him, either children, wives, or hangers-on, Asher Imo, other people there, we don't know how many other people are there, he has to tell them, get rid of your gods. Vihi taharu, and purify yourselves, v'achlit l'simotchem. And then, v'nakumu v'nala beit el, v'asesha mizbeach l'kel, ha'ona'uti v'yom tzareti, v'yimadi b'derech ha'shalachti. Then I can approach God and build this place that I promised. So we see that God has to remind him, Yaakov has a problem, and maybe this is the reason he didn't keep his word. He just doesn't feel that they're ready to approach God yet. They're not weaned yet from Avodah Zarah, which is itself a very interesting thing. Remember that Yaakov's children were raised in Laban's house. That's not a very simple thing. Source 17, the Medrash Sofer tells us something surprising. Ve'enu Yaakov, or El Yaakov, it's called Elohei Hanechar Shebi Adam, Shel Avadim, that means these are the servants. We're still keeping this idolatry. That makes us feel a little better. Shehistiru mibet Shechem. Where did they get it from? When they wiped out Shechem, which means they got rid of all the Avodah Zarah. They never had Avodah Zarah when they left Laman. Where did they get their Avodah Zarah from? When Shechem was wiped out, so there was no one around, so you take whatever's there, and presumably some of these things were of value. So the Avadim, not even the brothers, the brothers went in because they were taking revenge. The Avadim went in afterwards on a recognizance mission and liberated whatever valuables they saw, including Avodah Zarah. So that first thing, you know, that comforts us a lot. Mm-hmm. That's what Yaakov has to say right now, which is right after the story of Dinah.
Right.
This Perek Lamed Hay is right after Lamed Daled, right? Lamed Daled is where the story of Dinah takes place. So now we understand why the Avodah Zarah. It's the end of the Medrash, which is much more intriguing. The Gama Trafim Shabiyad Rachel. And the other thing he had to tell him to get rid of was the Trafim. So according to this Midrash, she still has them. So despite the Meshech Chachma's insistence that she got rid of them long ago, she still has the trafim. No, she dies right after this. So if you want to make the claim that Rachel took them because she wanted them, this is the midrash that you would have to base yourself on. Again, as I said, this is a little uncomfortable, because why would she do this? This is Rachel Imenu.
If they've been living there for 22 years, if she really wants to look that they had any power, why would she wait 22 years and say she might be pregnant?
So you're saying you really don't like this, but nonetheless, you have to read the words here. Right?
Right.
Agreed. As I said. As I said before, if you want to make a claim that Rachel kept them because she wanted them, so you have to base yourself. So one is, I have a midrash to base myself. Secondly, I may even have a pasuk to base myself.
She's been infertile for 22 years. If she knew there was a problem, why didn't she use them earlier? Why she?
Well, because she's now she's suffering from what I think they call secondary infertility, right? Because she had the first child, and now she's having difficulty having the second child. So this is the point that she's becoming more. And even when she has the first child, she says, "I want a second child." Hashem gam, right? God should add another child. Now, just one second. Yeah.
Is superstition the same thing as avodah? Maybe this is something that
superstition is something else.
So maybe she thought that this is more of a, you know,
good luck, John.
Yeah.
Okay.
Didn't think of it as avodah.
Okay. Let's look at one more pasuk. 18, before Rachel gets pregnant the first time, but Terah Rachel ki lo yoda li Yaakov, v'tikanei Rachel ba'achota, which is interesting. She doesn't get jealous initially. She gets jealous after Leah at this point already has four children.
Right.
Not initially. Rashi there says, I think it's Rashi who says, yeah, but you would say that if Leah had the first child, then she should have been jealous at that point. So Rashi is bothered why after the fourth child, because it seems to be that being a Nevi'ah, she knows that Yaakov will have 12 children. 12 divided by 4 is 3. So once Leah has the fourth, then she knows that things will not be divided fairly. Okay, that's what Rashi says. Why at this point she gets jealous. Nonetheless, v'tikanei Rachel ba'achotah, v'tomei el Yaakov ha'vali banim, v'im ayin meita anochi. V'yichar af Yaakov, page 5, v'u Rachel, v'yomer hatachet elokim anochi, Hashem anam mi mech. That in this discussion she's saying to Yaakov, give me a child. What do you want from me? Am I God? So it could be that you can hear within this verse that she is ascribing to Yaakov more power than he has, which means, again, if you're looking for a problem in Rachel, this would be the one pasuk that maybe you can find it in. And as I said, we now have three interpretations as to why Rachel takes the trafim. One, which is, I guess, very elevated, to take away from her father Avodah Zarah. Two, to save themselves. And three, because she thought they were either a good luck charm, superstition, or something, will help her with her fertility problem. Yeah.
But didn't Rachel know, I mean, didn't it seem to her that this was from Hashem, that she wasn't having children, so maybe that's why she came to Yaakov to ask him to pray the same way that Yitzchak prayed for Rivka?
And Rashi suggests that as well. And the Rashi, correct, Rashi.
It wasn't like it was an accident. It happened to be that Leah happened to have all these kids. You know, Yaakov loved Rachel, so therefore Leah was the one who had the kids. So did Rachel, she didn't know that. I guess when she's in the situation, you don't really know that.
What I'm saying is that based on Yaakov's response, when you think, I'm God, then you have to then question, what exactly is she saying? What's between the lines over there? I said, that's the only verse that I have that I can... Right, I'm saying that's the only verse, and Yaakov's response is the only place that you can question Rachel.
Right.
As I said, there's this funny midrash that says she still has the perfume way later than we would have thought,
right,
even though the Meshech Chachma uses what you're talking about. She got rid of them long ago.
Right.
Now is it... I do want to figure out which is the proper answer, and I think I can prove what really is the true shadow over here. But what we have to wait a little bit. We have to kill some more time first. So we have to be a little patient. As far as the last time that Rachel had problems getting pregnant, which is the first, right before she gave birth to Yosef, there we have this celebrated incidence with the Duda'im. And maybe learning how to do the im will help us a little bit. Source 19. Vayelech Ruvain v'yemeik sir chitim v'yemtza duda'im b'sadeh v'yavei otam eleya imo v'tomer Rachel eleya tmina li midudai b'nech v'tomer lama et kach tich et ishi v'lakach gam et duda'i b'ni v'tomer Rachel v'chein yishkav imach halayla tachat duda'i b'nech. What are duda'im in the first problem? In the Arya Kaplan's footnote over there, he has wonderful interpretations. regarding what are the Duda'im, let's first look at Rashi. Again, Reuben comes from the field and he has these Duda'im. Rashi will tell us over here in source 21, Duda'im asigli, which are violets, segel. They're violets. Esav hu uvaloshan Yishmael yasmin. And in Arabic, it's jasmine. By the way, you don't have to know that much about botany to know that jasmine has nothing to do with violets. So I spoke to a botanist yesterday, and he said he was very bothered by this Rashi for a long time because they have nothing to do with one another. And he said that, that what occurs to him is what Rashi is telling you is not a translation over here, but he's talking about in terms of usage. Usage, and what is the usage of either giving somebody violets or giving somebody jasmine? That no, nothing to do with pregnancy, according to Rashi. What you're doing is you're giving somebody flowers. If you want to talk about the if you want to talk about you may be overstating it, but if you want to talk about medicinal purposes, where would you find medicinal uses from what? No more from the roots than from the flowers, correct? So if he's giving flowers, so this is just simply a very nice thing, give me the flowers. But why does Rachel want the flowers? Furthermore, by the way, if Rachel wants the flowers because they have some kind of, either they're an aphrodisiac or because they can help with fertility, then it's a very strange thing to take them and then trade her night with her husband. I mean, that seems to be a very strange trade. The Ibn Ezra in source 20, do the Amar Hamitagam Yivruchun Bechenukabalashan Yishmael, the Yeshlem Reacho. So again, this seems to be the same approach that Rashi was telling us is the main thing over here. It has a pleasant smell, it's a fragrance, and she's looking for to get a nice perfume. Although again, that seems to be a very strange thing, that if she wants a perfume to attract her husband, then why trade your husband for the perfume? Again, it seems to be very, very strange. But then he continues, and he quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. He can't get better than that. Do the im give a sense? The heim al surat ben adam. But the do the im, I'll take a look then. But I do the im, they look like a person. In terms of the roots. The roots. What? She has it over there. You have a picture? In chapter 30, verse 14 and 15. And Ibn Ezra continues and says, "Vanochi lo yodati lama yo'ilu l'harayon b'vorsha toladat kara." He goes, "I have no idea why this should help with pregnancy." He just has no idea what to talk about. You have it? Well, that's certainly what went into my mind. What he has the picture here is the standard translation is mandrakes. And he writes over here mandrake, based upon the Hebrew from the word dodim, denoting passion or carnal love. Dod, right? Dod from Shir HaShirim, right? Which is also could also related to breast. It was called this because of its use as an aphrodisiac and fertility potion, basing on the Zohar, which we'll see in a moment. The mandrake is of the potato family. It is a thick perennial root, often split down the middle, like the lower limbs of the human body. So it says you have a good imagination, and you take a look at it, then perhaps you can see a person over there. Okay. Yeah. She has to prepare it. She has to prepare it. Right. Correct. Let's look at the Sforno. The Sforno writes in Tadizaim Min Esev Tov Hareach. First thing he says is that it is a type of a grass that has a good scent. We're still staying on that scent. Source 22. Umechin Kli Hazera Elotoza, and it helps with the sperm in order to keep it strong, to get it where to help it give birth. Kamosha Amru Al Shum. Garlic supposedly has the same kind of qualities. And it helps. What he's describing here is an aphrodisiac. That is what the Sforno is saying. But he does stay with this in that Nureyach. In source number 23, Vayizkor lo kimet Rachel. Why did she get pregnant? Which happens immediately afterwards. Once she gets to Dinim, she gets pregnant. Why? It says Vayizkor lo kimet Rachel. That God remembered her. Shehishtadlo laholich lachnisa tzareta lebeita. One is she tried by virtue of Bilhah. And second, ukeinyana dudaim. And she also tried with the dudaim. That means that once she tried, she did what was called her hishtadlut. She did her fertility, whatever she needed to do. But Yishma ila Elokim she'tpalla achasha astashnei minei hishtadlut. That God listened to. Now, what's interesting about all this is this thing about the tzurat ben adam. That again, to me, was the most interesting because of we've been talking till now about perhaps using the trafim in a similar type of way. The Zohar in source 24 tells us, "Lav dudaim olidu la Rachel." It was not the dudaim which caused Rachel to become pregnant. But it does say a couple lines later that the dudaim helped Leah become pregnant. That Leah becomes pregnant right away, and Leah becomes pregnant according to Zohar because of dudaim, which is why in the footnote there he said the dudaim do have these qualities. At the very end of the Zohar here, he writes. In English, although mandrakes are endowed with a certain power above, the power cannot influence the birth of children, as much as children depend on fate, on mazal, nothing else. But the mandrakes are help a woman who are slow in childbearing but not barren, the latter being under the influence of mazal. Which means that he's claiming is that it helps somebody who, it won't do a miracle, but it helps. That's what the Zohar is claiming, and this is where this whole claim of the fertility. Rachel did not give birth yet at this point. This is before Yosef is born, so Rachel doesn't have any. Right. Okay. Till this point, and now you appreciate why we can say, you know, we have Imenu Rachel, who takes the trefins. We now have our third suggestion that in order to get pregnant the first time, she uses. I'm not going to say something similar. But she goes and uses some kind of a potion or something, and you also have this image of a man in something called dudaim, something which seems to work. At this point now, she's been going a long time without children. She has one, and would she turn to the trefim? So I'm saying this is the argument that one would make that Rachel really did all this because of. That she wanted to trust him. Nonetheless, I think that I can prove.
Question.
Yes.
Question is, by taking the men's breaks, is there something wrong to do that?
I wouldn't think so. Quite the opposite. The Sforno says because she took medical. That one of the reasons why God answered her prayers. She turns to God and says, "Listen, I did all that I can possibly do, and now it's up to you." And then, what? Correct. But it's totally different from taking the trefillin. So the question is, could we go that far? Could we make this argument? And as I said, people have. I've never seen anybody do it inside. Some of you remember reading about it. I don't know if they've built as strong of an argument as I did, bringing the midrash and bringing the sources on it. On a logical level, you can say it. On the other hand, when it really comes down to it, can we prove one way or the other what Rachel's motivation was? And I think that we can, because of a later episode, and that's what you started to say before, and I cut you off before, because there is a parallel that takes place later on, which, if I'm not mistaken, is a parallel which is designed to be a parallel. Let's look at source 26. If you want to remember when 26 takes place, we are weeks in down the line. What?
The wrong thing, because Hashem answered Leah that same night, because Rachel gave the Yarchon to Leah. So it's implying that she shouldn't have given up the night with Yarchon.
You could certainly make that argument. As I said, the Sforno seems to see this as a positive thing, but you can certainly make that argument. Source 26 is down the line, when Yosef is already in Egypt and the brothers come to visit and he insists the brothers come a second time, he insists they bring back Binyamin, they all sit around, they have a meal and everybody's happy. Yosef controls himself, he goes back and cries and he comes out again and sends them on their way. And then he does the following thing, which is very strange, and I have to insist that this is what Yosef was heading towards the whole time. Because he says that he controls himself. He had a very hard time controlling himself. So why not? Why not just, you know, break down now? Say, yeah, I'm Yosef, but he has a plan. This apparently is Yosef's plan. Let's understand it. Source 26. Vayitzav et asher al beto lemor malei et am tachot ha'anashim ochel kasher yuchlun seif. Fill up their bags with food. V'sim kesev ish v'fi am tachto. And put their money back inside their wallets. Et gvi'i. Gvia hakesef tasim b'fi amtachata katan or katon, put my goblet in the pack of the youngest one. But kesef shibru b'yavu kedvar Yosef asher diber, and he did, and they did as Yosef said. Now, what does this have to do with our scene? So before we read it, let me tell you what it has to do with our scene. When the brothers left Lavan, they were all very young men, and it was probably incredibly traumatic for them. I mean, first time they're leaving home, they're traveling together, they get on the road, they travel 7 days, and their grandfather chases them down, right? There's excited words being exchanged, right? There's basically a fight takes place, and then Lavan goes tent to tent searching through all of their things. If I'm not mistaken, this is precisely what Yosef is recreating in their minds. Now, one of the reasons, if you want, again, on a simpler level, one of the reasons to do this is in order to isolate Binyamin from the others, to isolate the Ben Rachel from the others, and to see if they will stick with the Ben Rachel or not. Ultimately, Yehuda does, and they're successful, and so on. Okay? If the brothers would have said, look what Binyamin did. He stole the goblet. Take him. Kill him. Do whatever you want with him. He's just like his mother. Because Rachel had stolen the trafim. He stole the goblet. Now, of course, you know the reality. What's the reality?
She did steal and he didn't.
Right. She did take it. He didn't take it. But what Yosef is trying to do is to create in their mind a parallel situation. And therefore you have the chase. And therefore you have the stopping, and therefore you have the harsh words, and therefore you have them going through every single thing, and therefore you find it in the thing of Binyamin, and therefore in their minds this should be very, very clear, because they are now reliving the childhood trauma. Okay? And Binyamin hadn't been born yet. So therefore Binyamin becomes the replacement for Rachel. Rachel dies, Binyamin is born, so now it's in Binyamin, he's just like his mother.
Is that what you get therapy did? Is it reliving the childhood trauma?
Different type of therapy, okay? One second. Do you all hear that as Yosef's motivation? As far
to do what?
In order to test them to see. Which means what's the problem? The main problem between Yosef and the brothers is the Ben Rachel versus the others. So now Yosef isn't there anymore. He wants to see, is there still this problem in the community? Is it still Ben Rachel isolated? So what does he do? He isolates Benjamin. He brings him down, he makes him look terrible over here. Will the brothers surround him, rally behind him, or will the brothers abandon him?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, if the brothers rally behind him, that means that there's healing, and that means that Yosef can reveal himself.
Mm-hmm.
If, on the other hand, they abandon Binyamin, will Yosef then take Binyamin and kill him? Of course he won't kill him, but then he knows that we have not gained anything in all of these years.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, if you ask me, what I just now told you is shot on what Yosef is doing, but unless you realize his image that he's creating with them, that's what makes the isolation of Rachel, because that's what makes them all the more convinced that Binyamin is actually guilty.
Right.
So let's continue. And as you keep saying over there, there is another element here which I think will tell you the shot of what's going on.
How old are Yosef? A
couple years younger. He's probably around five or so.
You think he recollected it, knew all the implications, and
I think that he relived this as the others relived this. He was the youngest, he relived it, and if not, it's one of these family stories that are told and told again. But what Yosef was doing, again, I have no question in my mind that what Yosef is doing over here is recreating the leaving love and story in order to isolate Binyamin, in order for them to be convinced that Binyamin is acting just like his mother did. By the way, if you want to see that, you want to see the Medrash picks up this theme, if you take a look at source 29 for a moment.
Do we know that the brothers knew that Rachel had the trafit?
I'm assuming that, but one second. So look at source 29. Vayisa'ina vayarit Binyamin achiv ben imo samach shahaya domele imo. The Binyamin looks like the mother, which I think further strengthens this. We'll skip a little bit to where it's underlined. They start beating him up, hitting him on the shoulders. Which means you should be embarrassed, but you're just like your mother. Which means the theme over here, right? Right? The same way that she embarrassed our father, you're embarrassing up. You're just like your mother. Which means that the midrash absolutely picks up this theme that I just now told you about, that they see the cup in Binyamin's bag as being the same thing as the trafim being in the bag of Rachel, even though Rachel was not caught. But that's what caused the humiliation. That's what caused the embarrassment. The fact that Lavan is going through all of their things. I don't know, when's the last time you got stuck? You get stopped by the airport and they start going through. You enjoy this, right? You enjoy this, and they start looking through all your things. I mean, it's humiliating, mm-hmm. and that's what they experienced at that point. Therefore, they're saying to Binyamin that you're dressed like your mother, which means that was exactly the issue. By the way, one second. The question is, what happens next? Okay. They connected. They realize this. They're upset with him. They hit him. Now the question is, will they abandon him or will they not abandon him? So again, Vayigash Lav Yehuda. Although there's, once I make this observation, let's look at a couple of more things. Pasuk Dalid, back in source 26, Him Yatsu Et Ha'ir Lo Kichiku V'Yosef Amar La Asher Al Beita Kum Ridof Achorei Anashim. He starts him, which I'm in source 26, which Pasuk Dalid, and you now notice. You will notice the language over here is very similar to the language back in the first source, which described the chase that took place over there. Right? They chase, v'hisagtem, there it's v'hisag lavan, v'hisagtem atalayim v'mishlachtem ratacha tova, halozer sheyishtenu adoni bo, bohu nachesh shenachesh bo, v'ra'item asher asitem. We will have to come back to those words in a moment. V'hisigim v'deber aleyim et adrema eila v'yomor ilav. Right, but Yomai love Lama Daber Adoni Kedvarim Aila Chalila Vdecha Masot Kedvar Azeh Hin Kesef Shematu Bpi and so on and so forth. And then what do they say in Pasuk Tet? Arshei Masei Ito Me Avadecha V'Meit. Wherever you find it, he'll be put to death. Which is the exact same thing which Yaakov said. By the way, if you think about it, this was an incredibly stupid thing for them to say. Do they really know it's not? Why in the world say that whoever's bag it's in will be put to death? Unless, of course, the children end up imitating their parents and say the same thing that their parents said in the same situation. This is what Yaakov said to Lavan. Whoever has it will die, and they say whoever has it should be put to death. By the way, later on they back down from this. But this was this. Now you realize even further. Now you realize that even further, it's the same language being used. The issue, though, is back in Pasuk Hey, Halozer sheyishtadu nibo v'hu nachesh yinachesh bo. What does that mean, v'hu nachesh yinachesh bo? Look at source 27, the Rashbam, who we started with in terms of the Trachim. The Rashbam says, v'hu nachesh yinachesh bo, yesh lomo shahoye mar'e atzmo le'neim ki yodea inyanim ayidei kesem v'nichush. The Shema b'kos haya kosem. That this was used, the cup was used in order to do kesem or nichush, in order to do magic, which
but
means
nichush is the same thing as kesem.
Yeah, but nichush is
revelation.
Correct.
Okay.
To get insight, to get understanding, to know what something is, which means let's just look a little bit further. they say about this cup, they say about this cup that this is what he used the cup for.
For divination?
Correct. For divination, which means that they're claiming, what Yosef is claiming, or what they're being told, is you went and stole the cup, because that's what it is, and you think that just because you took the cup, I wouldn't be able to come? What, you thought that I wouldn't have any insight without this cup? Which means that the whole, just one second.
Did he really use the cup?
Well, one second. Look now. Look at source Tetvav. Look at Pasuk Tetvav in source 26. By Yomur Lahem Yosef, Mahama says Asher Asitim, Halo Yadatim, Kinachesh, Nachesh, Isha Asher Kamoni. Tetvav in source 26, where Yosef continues and says, don't you know that I am able to have insight that Nachesh, Nachesh? This term of divination, this is very interesting. Let me go back a second. Yosef is deliberately reenacting the scene of leaving Lavan. And what is Yosef saying? You stole my cup. And what I use my cup for? I use my cup for insight. I use my cup to know. And you think if you took my cup, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't be able to come here. I'm able to do this without the cup as well. I'm able to come. And again, what do you think you're doing? What I'm claiming right now is something very simple. We can argue from today to tomorrow regarding what's pshat regarding the trachim. And we can look at the Midrashim, and we can look at Rashi, and we can look at the Rashbam, or we can look at the Chumash itself. Which means if Yosef is trying to reenact this scene, the cup takes the place of the Trafim, right? And the purpose of taking it is in order to take, meaning you think this is where my insight comes from, this is what the cup is used for. The cup is used for Nichush. That is what the Rashbam, who by the way tells us, Pshat and Pasuk, that's what he's trying to do. Pshat over here, this is what it's used for, and you think that if you took it from me, I wouldn't understand. Which means reading this section, we now know why he took it. Incidentally, let me show you something interesting. Which means that
it's not that Rachel thought that it was Rachel, right? That she took it from.
No, it's the embedded thing. Like, you think that without this,
I can't
use it, which means it's not for the Nichush, which means, now, what's he saying?
That's not that Lavan wasn't just Shujim.
But
Rachel didn't need the
trafim. Right.
And she took them only to stop
Lavan. Right. Which really takes you back that she's trying to separate her father from Avodah Zarah. That's really what it takes you back to. But either way, this is you. The whole issue here is one of Nichush. That is the major theme over here. And as I said, how do I know this? Because that is the way that Yosef is telling us to understand the story. Now, again, if you want to go...
Rachel story?
Yes, because that's what he's doing. He's repeating the Rachel story. Now, if you want to claim that this is revisionism and that Yosef is... No, Yosef is trying to recreate it for the people that were there, taking every element in the same, and the cup takes the place of the trafim. By the way, let me show you something which I found interesting. Do you remember when we read back in source 13, it said v'lo matzah et ha-trafim at the end, it said that he couldn't find the trafim, aval dvarim acherim matzah, but he did find something else. What were those dvarim acherim? Look at source 37. Rav Yochanan trafim lo matzah kitoniot matzah. Na'asu trafim kitoniot shelo levayeshet Rachel. That the trafim turned into cups. That's what the Midrash had happened, that they couldn't find the trafim afterwards because they turned into cups, which as far as I'm concerned, the Midrash understood exactly what I was saying about the cup. The trafim turned into cups, which on the one hand you can understand as far as this magical thing happened out there with Rachel, or I think the Midrash is telling you what I just now pointed out to you, is that the trafim turned into cups from one episode to the next episode. That same idea is found in the previous source in 37, Amar of Yochanan, trafim lo matzah ki tanot matzah, nasu trafim ki tanot. The trafim become cups because they used for the exact same thing. One more element which may be interesting to Yosef using this whole thing is we find in an obscure midrash called the Midrash Yilamdenu, where he adds one more element to making the trafim. What do you use? You use a firstborn. Who was the firstborn?
Yeah.
Yosef was the firstborn. Listen to this one more element that you use. Hatrafim asher la'aviyah, v'lama nikra shemam trafim Shuma aset teref, which is murder. Taraf, taraf, Yosef. Ketzad osin, I know. Ketzad osin, mivin adan v'notnin otol bibor. You take a person and you throw him into a pit. And then you kill him and you chop off the head and so on. If this was the formula that you did, then it would be very interesting that Yosef is using this as part of the whole scene in order to recreate the scene.
Like an Agatha Christie.
No, I think worse.
We really going to make it.
Which? You think I remember what I was going to say? What I think that Yosef is claiming to them. Why did he go back to this thing of the Trafim? Because Yosef knows. How do you make one of the Trafim? You use the firstborn. Yosef is the firstborn. What do you do with it? You throw in a pit. And what do you do? And then you kill him. Which means this has to be in the back of the mind. So they know the magic which is done. They know how to make the Trafim. They come from this culture. And Yosef, therefore, honing in on the Trafim, message, I think he may also be speaking about himself. When he now then uses the Trafim story in order to go back and to teach them a lesson. Again, he's testing something. He wants to see how the brothers will respond, but over here we see the kos used for nichush, used for this, again, what they think is this pharaoh or this assistant to pharaoh to have insight. That becomes the natural replacement of the trafim. That tells me that the purpose of the trafim was also to get some kind of insight, and therefore I'm saying, when ultimately it comes down to it, would I be convinced that Rachel took them for fertility issues? As I said, you can make that argument. I just don't think it's pshat. And when it comes down to it, I would much rather hear Yosef telling me what the pshat in Chumash is than probably anybody else, because he was there. And the way that all the brothers experience this, where they imitate their father, because they re-experience the exact same thing, they say what their father say, but again, the brothers then end up acting heroically. And let's not take that away from them. And that's what Yosef is trying to see. What the brothers then do in the next time, then they back down, then they back down. Then, 1 second, then the brothers back down from this, and the brothers say, no, no, don't kill the one that had it, we will all become slaves to you. And then Yosef, no, 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 just the one who's guilty. And then Vayigash of Yehuda, and Yehuda refuses to let go, and Yehuda says, no, no, I am not letting him go back, which means at the end, they are not prepared to isolate the Ben Rachel from the others, and that's what Yosef was trying to get to in this scene. He was building up a claim that would have been so easy for them just to turn around and walk away and say forget about him, and they didn't do it. But the way that he was doing it is by going back to this incredibly humiliating scene in their life, causing them to re-experience it. But then, as far as I'm concerned, the cup takes the place of the trafim, and by understanding what the use of the cup was, now you understand that is what the trafim were about, and that's why what I think the Medrash is hinting at when it says the trafim become a cup. As I said, that may be what he's even pushing them to. Is that what you're trying to do as well? Meaning, by throwing Yosef in the pit, and he's the firstborn, and eventually believing that he's dead at this point, or maybe thinking that he's dead, is he making that suggestion as well? I hear that in this idea of throwing him into the pit. Correct. I'm back by the first explanation. He did it in order that he would not have the ability of Mikosh, and it could be. No, Rachel did it because of this thing is used for Nichush. Or it also could be for Avodah Zarah. But to say that Rachel is doing it for fertility reasons, that would just not make any sense in the way that Yosef himself is using it.
My question is, the nation is also against.